Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families, and it is my favorite day of the week, of the weekday. It's Friday. Yay, it's Fri-yay, and I hope that whatever you're doing over the weekend, whether you're working or not, or you're going with family, or you're going to sports events, or whatever you're doing, I hope that you will have time to be with the people that you love, and that you will have time somewhere in there to slow down a little bit. And we've been talking about the rhythms that we've been keeping as families. Ever since the beginning of January, I've been introducing 52 Habits for Healthy Families. We focus on those on Friday. And these are not life hacks. They are not miracle fixes. They are not magic. There's certainly nothing in that. These are just simple everyday disciplines. There is no life hack that's going to magically cure everything. And I'll talk about that next week as well, just how we want to make poor choices. We want to be on our phones. We want to be too busy. We want to overschedule ourselves. We want to overcommit our time, our finances, our relational efforts. And then we want something magical to come in and make that okay, whether that's a sleep aid, whether that is some sort of side hustle that brings easy money. We're just constantly looking for those instant fixes to our unhealthy habits. That's the honest truth. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm on this journey as well. But there is nothing that can replace the everyday disciplines that God has given us in His wisdom to help us to live happy lives and to have healthy families. And by happy, I mean holy. I mean set apart. I mean being content in the circumstances that God has given you. Just as Paul said, he has learned in whatever circumstances to be content. And we've talked about prayer, memorizing scripture, going to church, playing worship music, being grateful, intentionally grateful, having a daily devotional, a morning routine. We're on week 8, and this week we're talking about having a bedtime routine. So this is 2 months now that we've been looking at just rhythms in your family. So often I say this myself, and I talk to other families and they just feel like it's just a season. I know my husband and I were having that discussion, like, we need to get rid of that. It's not just a season. This is just the reality of life now. Life has changed after COVID. It really has. It was difficult. There were challenges before related to modern living, but it's gotten worse, and we have to be intentional. We have to go against the grain. We've got to do something different. And I'm convinced that that comes from looking at these simple healthy habits, these simple disciplines that God has given us. So let's dive into it and talk about having a bedtime routine. Again, we're talking about these rhythms that your family has, and consistency is one of the most important building blocks for resilience. So when you have challenges, when you have trials and drama and tribulation and tragedy and all of those things, having some consistency built in automatically wires your brain and your body for recovery. It gives you messages that there's a safe space for you to land. And we can't make the world safe as much as we try and we do our best, but we can create safe spaces in an unsafe world. And when you go out, your family goes out into the day, whatever that is, whether that's work, whether that's school, whether that is activities, whether that's even maybe a season where you're walking through conflict in a community of faith or your church or whatever it is. Maybe you're taking care of an elderly relative or someone who has health needs. When you come back home, every person wants to come home and to feel like, oh, I can drop the weight of the world that I'm carrying. I don't have to look and see, oh no, here we go. Here comes conflict part two. We want our homes to be peaceful places. And the truth is that the evening schedule that we have, we don't do anything to make that intentional. Somehow we want that, but we don't really invest in that. And there are some things that we have to do to set ourselves up for success in that way. One of the ways to make your home a safe space at night that everybody looks forward to coming home to is by creating an evening bedtime routine. Now that's going to start from the time that you all get home. Evening schedules and bedtime routines have to be intentional. You cannot just have an everyday race and then collapse into bed exhausted. Everybody is go, 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 whether it's homework until the last minute, whether it's scrolling through your phone till the last minute, whether it's, you know, scrambling, trying to find the sports equipment that you need tomorrow, which, by the way, if you're needing help with clutter, listen in on our Declutter Diary series. We're in that journey. But we just fall into bed exhausted. And then we wake up and we do it all over again the next day while we're sitting there complaining that life is just so busy and it's so hard. Creating calm and unhurried time in the evening is essential for allowing your family to reconnect, to process the day, and to transition into restful sleep. Next week, I'll talk a lot about sleep. But when our evenings are packed with activities, with screens, last minute going to the store to get a poster board for that science fair project I didn't know you had, children and parents both are overstimulated. And that makes them more irritable. That makes conflict more likely. It makes it harder to unwind. You don't feel at rest in your own home. But instead of rushing through so that you can get the kids to bed and you can go to bed or just have some peace and quiet, families really benefit from structured, peaceful routines. Now, I don't mean rigid, militaristic, you know, we are going to do this at this time. I'm just talking about consistent rhythms, sharing a meal together without distraction, looking at the lighting in your home and turning on lamps as the sun starts to go down instead of bright overhead lights. Maybe it's reading together. Maybe it's talking about the highs and lows of the day. Whatever it is, those simple rhythms that you have, those are the moments that foster security, that give emotional regulation, that make your relationship stronger and help your children feel safe in an unsafe world. They will feel safe and loved and connected and wanted and seen and known and heard as they drift off to sleep. Avoiding overscheduling and overstimulation in the evenings, that's not just about good sleep. It's about everything that leads up to that sleep. It's about cultivating connection. It's about peace and a rhythm of rest that nourishes your whole family. Now, I really learned about this when I lived with my granny, who I will never apologize for talking about all the time because she's so sweet and wonderful and special. But she had a really amazing way of making time stretch, and she always turned ordinary evenings into something sacred. I think about my husband and I dating. It was just pretty much hanging out at her house all of the time because she was never in a rush, not when it came to the things that mattered. And every night, without fail, dinner was served on that table. Now, it may have been a roast that was cooked for, like, you know, I don't know, 5 days, but it was something that she was making with love in her heart. And we used real dishes. We used cloth napkins. That was the rhythm, is set the table. So I would set the table with those Corel dishes and the cloth napkin, and she would cook and put it on there. It wasn't in front of a screen. It wasn't hurried between obligations. Hurry up, we're about to go here, so eat quick. It was just right there where conversation flowed as freely as the sweet tea. And it didn't matter if it was just her, my pawpaw. They would be eating dinner there together, the two of them. And if someone happened to drop by, well, we pull out another place setting, and there was always extra food and a place at the table because in her eyes, no meal was ever meant to be eaten alone. There, and the cleaning up was a family affair that happened over conversation. And I remember when, in her later years in life, when she was in a nursing home, I asked her, I said, "What is the thing that you love most in your house? What would you save?" And she surprised me because she said this little rooster that was hanging over her sink, and it had been given to her by her dad. And she said, "I just feel like my grandfather, my dad, they were just there, and I would think about them, and I would just talk to that rooster and just pray." It's so silly, I know, but it's just a simple little rhythm. It would just remind her to pray and be thankful for her family. But after dinner, the night unfolded really like a story. You just didn't want to end. Maybe it was a game. Maybe we just would laugh over playing cards or dominoes. Maybe it was the click of her Sucrets tin. Anybody remember Sucrets out there? She got out bobby pins and she pin curled her hair just right. And we settled in for reruns of old shows that we'd seen 100 times, but just would sit together and laugh and watch together. And no matter what, both of my grandparents always told me goodnight. I would hear, "Good night, Jessica, I love you." It was just a quiet moment to wrap up the day, to acknowledge each other, to remind us that we were loved. And my granny understood something I think that we forget in this modern world, that life is not meant to be rushed, that the best moments happen when we slow down, when we sit together and we simply be. And oh, what I would not give for just one more of those unhurried nights. I would love to walk into her house and see her sitting at the table and go and join her for a dinner. Life is so rushed these days. We are constantly running. We are at work. We're at school. We're at practices. We're doing homework. We're running errands. It's always something that needs to be done. And in the evenings, that to-do list lingers. Those notifications keep buzzing. And somehow rest never feels restful. But can I remind you of something? It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to earn stillness. You don't have to check off everything on your list before you allow yourself to just be with the people you love. Some of those best moments in life happen when there's no agenda, no pressure, no rush, just being together, sitting around the dinner table, sitting in the couch in the living room, sharing stories, laughing through a board game, watching the sunset on the porch and letting the night unfold slowly instead of squeezing in one more thing. I know it's hard. I know the world makes you feel like you always have to be doing something, but your family doesn't need a perfect schedule or a finished to-do list or a social media-worthy bedtime routine. They just need you. Whoever that is in your home, they want you fully present, unhurried, willing to slow down, soak in those fleeting moments, because at the end of the day, what really matters isn't what we accomplished, it's who we loved and how we showed up for them. And there's something powerful about the simple, repetitive rhythms of a family's evening routine. These are just quiet, familiar moments, sitting down for dinner, sharing a story, maybe playing a game, saying goodnight. These are anchors in the chaos of daily life. And we're looking for, okay, what is the, you know, the cognitive trick, the therapist that my family needs? And sometimes there are needs for external resources like that. But we underestimate the power of these simple repetitive rhythms. They tell our family, this is home. This is safe. This is where you belong. And when life feels overwhelming, these steady routines, they ground us. They create that space that we desperately need to slow down, to reconnect, to breathe together. No matter what the day held, good or bad, we end it together. And over time, these small, repeated moments just weave into the fabric of our family story. They shape our hearts. They strengthen our relationships. And they remind us that we are never too busy to show up for each other. There are holistic health benefits of a family bedtime routine. It supports your physical health because it helps you get better sleep, which boosts your immune function, helps kids grow better, helps their brains develop better. It helps regulate your hormones, your metabolism, your mood. It reduces the risk of overweight, of chronic stress. It reduces nighttime anxiety. By providing predictability and comfort, it allows you time to process the day, to help you regulate your emotions in a healthy and strong way. And it strengthens your mental clarity. A well-rested brain is going to be more focused. It's going to remember things. I remember what you told me about yesterday, and I want to ask you about it. How did it go today? And rather than, oh yeah, I forgot. I know you said that, but I forgot. I forgot to pray for you. I forgot to ask you about that. I forgot to check up on you. You don't want to do that. That feels terrible as families. But it also reduces the risk of behavioral issues and mood swings in kids. Don't we all want that? Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of the anchors of a healthy bedtime routine, as well as some of the challenges that we face. What are the things that are really difficult that make us really get off track. More on this and a bedtime routine coming up right after the break. Don't go away. I'll see you in just a minute. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That is Good God Almighty by Crowder. And God is good. Whether you are having you can always have a good day. And today we're talking about having a good evening. We are talking about setting a bedtime routine. And now I don't care what age or stage your family is in. Everybody on this planet Earth needs a good, supportive bedtime routine. Everybody needs a safe space in an unsafe world where you can go and drop the cares of the day and know that you are in a place where you are loved. And whoever you are, you have a role in playing what kind of atmosphere is going on in your family. And having these simple rhythms of a bedtime routine really is a powerful connection. And it helps strengthen your relationship. It creates meaningful family bonding. It encourages open communication because somehow nighttime is often when children and teens and even us as adults, we feel safe opening up about the day, the struggles, the emotions. Most kids are not going to wake up and say, "Oh, good morning, mother. I'd like to talk to you about what's on my heart today worrying me." No, we're all running around and trying to, you know, everything's fine, let's just go. But then somehow at night, my children will open what I call is the war and peace of their life. Let me tell you every single solitary detail. It requires discipline because you've got to build some time into your day, carve out some time, because if they open up about their feelings, you want to be available to be able to have those conversations, to listen, to validate their thoughts and feelings, to gain some insight into their world. But having a bedtime routine also reduces family stress. It prevents that last minute chaos. It makes sure that evenings are calmer for everyone, especially getting ready for the next day, making sure that you have everything that you need. Because less stress means more patience, more grace, more joy. And who doesn't want that? And when we want it, but trying to have it, and then the reality hits when we have conflict at night. So often this can happen. And common triggers for conflict happen because of physical factors, emotional factors, relational factors. But one of the reasons that we have conflict at night is because we have unmet needs or unclear expectations, and it's a cry for attention. So let me go through some frequent triggers and some practical ways that families can prevent them. First, we've got being overly tired or not tired enough. Hear me out here. So if kids are overly tired, if parents are overly tired, we know what that is. But sometimes they're not tired enough. Sometimes they really aren't tired and they're not ready to go to bed. And then all of a sudden you've got a conflict. Or sometimes for us or for our older kids or people who have been sitting on a screen all day, our bodies are not tired, but our minds are tired. This completely throws off our circadian rhythm. So we want to rest, but we really don't want to go to sleep. And so then what do? Well, you scroll through your phone and let blue light pour in through your eyes and suppress melatonin production. And then you just wonder about that. So especially for little kids, watch for signs of tiredness and really adjust their bedtime accordingly. They may need to go to bed earlier, and you may have a kid who needs more sleep. Overtiredness leads to meltdown, while undertiredness causes restlessness. So having that bedtime routine, those simple things, knowing your body gives cues to your body. Okay, it's time to start shutting things down so that we can go to sleep. Another reason for conflict is just resistant to routine. Kids especially resist bedtime routines. I want to stay up longer. I don't want to stop playing. I want to finish this show, whatever it is. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So set very clear, consistent expectations about bedtime each night. Use really simple, positive language to let kids know what's coming next. After we finish this story, it's time for bed. And work through those points of resistance by being consistent. The more that you can give kids of any age a choice, I call this a pediatric choice. Like I give them a choice between two things that are both equally acceptable to me, but they don't know that, see? So then I'll say, okay, you know what? Let's talk about your bedtime. What do you think? Do you think 8 or 8:30 would be a good bedtime? Tell me why. When I'm thinking in my mind, either one of those is fine. Or I'll read this story or this story. You can wear these pajamas or these pajamas. You can, you know, either lay out your stuff before dinner or after dinner that you'll need. So think about that, but it gives them more choices. It gets them more engaged. That's really helpful. And you might want to even use a countdown or a timer for little kids saying, hey, here's a 10-minute warning before bedtime. I'm going to go to bed in 10 minutes. And it helps them prepare for that transition. Another trigger can be screen time before bed, exposure to screens like TVs, tablets, smartphones. We let our kids do that. We let them watch stuff, or we're watching stuff because we're trying to get things done. We need the kids to be quiet for a little bit. But the program can be really stimulating visually and in their brain developmentally. And they have all this blue light, and then we turn it off and say, okay, time to go to bed, just like that. Well, that's our fault, honestly. We need to limit screen time at least 30 minutes before bedtime. If you don't do this now, start with 5 minutes, then start with 10 minutes, then start with 15 minutes, because it's really hard for our kids to transition from screen time to immediate going to sleep. They really need to read books. I know that's not popular, but it still is the best way to calm them down and to help their development. So, and really, it should be our goal to have a no screen policy in the bedroom, just because, again, that blue light does not help sleeping. But another trigger for conflict at bedtime is unmet emotional needs. They may feel anxious or insecure, and they're acting out in unpleasant ways. And instead of saying, okay, why are you doing this? Why are you acting like this? Even if maybe it's your spouse, say, okay, what's going on here? And just stop and just ask them, hey, how are you feeling? It seems like you're feeling kind of overwhelmed. What's going on? And offer some emotional reassurance. Just spend a few extra time, a few extra minutes talking with them about their day. And having some sort of nightly bonding ritual is so, so, so important. You know, my kids are now all older and we still have those rhythms and routines. They're very simple. Maybe take 5 or 10 seconds, but every night without fail, we're going to have that interaction. And it's really, really powerful. Whether it's a phrase that you speak over them every night, it's a specific prayer that you say, it's a specific way that you touch their forehead and tell them that you love them. It is a way that you hug them, or that you turn off their lights or give them the order of stuffed animals, whatever it is. Those little nightly rituals are so, so, so important. And having that calming environment is really helpful. Sometimes it can be a inconsistent sleep schedule. So we're sleeping at all different times. And you know, maybe tonight we've got games, tomorrow we've got church, and, you know, the games go till 10, church was over at 8, and they're going to bed at all different times. And then we get frustrated when they can't immediately fall asleep. So really do whatever you can to try to have a regular bedtime. And if that's not possible, you say that's just not going to happen, that's not realistic, then for you, it's even more important to have those consistent rituals, to have those consistent rhythms and routines at night, so that when you do go to bed, it's still triggering that same signal to your brain that, okay, this is time to go to bed. Anxiety and fear are very common triggers for conflict at night. Fear of the dark, nightmares, anxiety about being separated from parents, or just anxiety that you've kept at bay all during the day because you've been busy and you've been distracted and you've had to get through what you've had to get through. But now all of a sudden, all of that noise is lifted and you lay in your bed in the dark and it starts to roar. And parents are frustrated because they think, why aren't you going to sleep? Like, I'm tired. So we need to acknowledge those fears calmly and really think, okay, what do we need to do during the day to manage this? Because if you're just waiting and it's manifesting itself at night, there's really nothing magic that you're going to do right then at the night. You just need to say, all right, this is something that we need to look at. Where is this anxiety or fear coming from? And we talk more about that here on Mental Health Mondays when we have those. And there's lots of other resources and past shows that you can listen to on mental health and anxiety. Now, sometimes it's just parental stress or just an inconsistent approach. Maybe one night you are like the best parent ever and you read a story and you have, you know, some snuggle time and you're patient and you're kind. And the next night, you know, your day has just gone terribly and you don't do that. And I'm stressed. That can be really, really difficult. So again, think about starting small, even thinking about three things that you can do consistently every night. What are three small things that you can do that just help you to be more consistent? Because if we're inconsistent, but we're expecting a consistent response, well, that's not really fair. Sometimes we can have conflict at bedtime because we just haven't given our family member enough attention during the day. They may think, okay, now I'm going to bed and I still have not seen you look me eyeball to eyeball. You've been working or you've been wherever. And so sometimes people just act out because they want attention. So stop and think, okay, did I give them enough attention today? Have we had some quality time? How can you build that quality time into your day, especially if you have a family member, a child, a spouse whose love language is quality time? That can be really, really helpful. But we really want to avoid conflict at bedtime. Sometimes, you know, this is just when, you know, you'll walk in, you'll see your teenager doing homework, and you'll ask them, why are you doing your homework so late? It's time to go to bed. And they'll say, well, I know, but I'm not finished. Oh, well, let's look at your grades. Oh, you're failing math? What in the world? And then all of a sudden, you're having a full-blown fight at 10 o'clock at night because really, it's something that should have been addressed earlier in the day. I know that's so hard, but we've really got to take accountability for looking at some of these conflicts. Because we need to set our family members up to sleep. Sleep is vital for well-being. Kids and adults alike, they need good sleep to recharge. And when you have conflict at bedtime, that raises your cortisol level, that makes you stressed out. It's impossible to relax and fall asleep. So having a calm routine is helpful and having emotional regulation. So sometimes it's just the discipline to say, you know what? I should have talked about this earlier and brought it up. I know this is a tough subject. This is sensitive. I love you. I am going to talk to you about this tomorrow. Okay. I'm setting aside time at this time and we'll address this tomorrow. It's not just a complete pass, but sometimes you do need to give a pass for the night and just let it go. Just push pause. And there is something really, really powerful about that. If you convey to your family member, you know what? I know that we have this trouble. I know that we have this conflict, but the greater ecosystem of our relationship, of our family health is strong enough that we can push pause on this. We can handle this. It's a small thing in the big scheme of things. and we can continue on until we handle it. That's a really powerful signal to send to your family to say, hey, it's okay. This can wait. We'll work through it. That can help them to regulate their emotions. So when should you address those difficult topics? Well, earlier in the day, while everyone's still alert and energized. Again, trying to deal with those complex issues right before bedtime just makes everyone emotionally exhausted. And plan for those tough conversations. Plan ahead and think about your child's temperament. Think about when they're at their best, when you're at your best, and tell them, okay, I want to have a talk about this. So some ways to keep bedtime peaceful. Set clear expectations. Having that consistent bedtime routine with clear boundaries helps children know, and everybody in the family know, this is what's expected of you. These are the quiet hours in our house. Even if you have older kids, maybe on different bedtimes, hey, these are quiet hours, you know, just like they might do in a hotel. Set that tone early with just a gentle reminder of the evening's plan. This is our bedtime routine. Be calm and gentle because kids pick up on our energy and mood. And frankly, so do the rest of our family members. It's contagious. So if you want a calm and peaceful home, you've got to exude calm and peaceful vibes. And we can't just depend on somebody else to do that for us. And if bedtime is met with resistance, then just be firm but kind, letting your kid know, hey, it's time to rest, but don't raise your voice or become upset. And if you're consistent over a little bit of time, it really will help. Try not to discipline at bedtime. Bedtime is not the best time for discipline or correcting behaviors. Save those conversations about behavior or boundaries for the next day and tell them you're going to talk about it the next day. Try to have a soothing environment. Dim the lights, use calming music, and, you know, just having that consistency and just creating some calm and using positive language instead of saying, hey, stop talking and go to sleep. Say, let's have a peaceful sleep so we can wake up ready for a new day tomorrow. Okay, it's time to have peaceful sleep instead of go to sleep. And, you know, one of the tricks that I use even now for my kids who are having trouble going to sleep now, POV, which they'll say, that's point of view, and they'll say, I'm old for saying that, but they say your mom's voice is good ASMR to go to sleep to. So I'll just go in their room and say, I'm going to pray for you. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. And I will just pray long and they know better. They're not going to interrupt me when I'm praying. Before you know it, they've drifted off to sleep. But you know what? If they've gone to sleep hearing me pour out my concerns, expressing gratitude to God for them, I am definitely okay with that. And when you do address those difficult topics, hey, do it in a neutral, calm space. Don't do it in the bedroom because the bedroom should be associated with rest and peace. Don't give them the memories of that in there. Keep that as a sanctuary and have a talking corner or talking table or whatever it is. Incorporating these strategies in your family's routine will help foster a peaceful and loving atmosphere at bedtime, which we all want. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the power of tucking in your kids, no matter what age. Stick around and I'll explain.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
And if you're helpless, I will defend you, and if you're burdened, I'll share the weight, and if you're hopeless, then let me show you.
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Jesus Way by Phil Wickham, and we're talking about choosing the Jesus Way for your family, and especially at bedtime. Welcome back, friends. We're talking about 52 Habits for Healthy Families. If you've missed out on the other seven that we've done so far, you can go and find the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, and you'll find a habit for each week that we're talking about. Every Friday, we talk about the habit of the week, and I answer questions I get from parents about that. And really, and thinking about even that song playing in the Jesus Way, thinking about the peace that we want to be in our homes. I want to read to you from Psalm chapter 63. Now, the heading of this psalm says, "My soul thirsts for you," a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So this wasn't written from a place of comfort or peace in his life, but this is what he wrote in Psalm 63. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." And here's verse 6, the verse of the week. "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." I want you to think about that, because isn't that what we want our families to do, to lie down and sleep in peace and to remember God's faithfulness, to meditate on it in the watches of the night, to know that he has been our help, and to know that in the shadow of his wings, we will sing for joy. That is what we all want in a bedtime routine. And this isn't going to happen just magically. So often we just kind of float, or we stay in a rut, and it doesn't matter what life stage you're in. I think about when I was a newlywed, I think about when I had littles. And if you are thinking, oh, she's probably like this sleep guru, no. I probably made every sleeping mistake that you can possibly make with your children. I was desperate. I was really not good at it. And it has taken a long time to get to where I am today and looking at having a restful night. But I do want to talk to you about tucking in your kids. We've talked about just these simple rhythms of connection, of creating a safe space. And the practice of tucking in your children at night is something that really is very, very therapeutic. Maybe you have a wiggly toddler who still asks for one more story, or maybe you've got a middle schooler who insists they don't need a tuck-in anymore, but somehow they still linger when you stand at the door. Maybe you've got a teenager who's just too cool for bedtime routines, yet deep down they still crave connection before the day ends. Maybe you're living at home with your spouse and you want that connection, but you're just kind of doing your own thing before you go to bed. Having that bedtime moment, that tucking in moment, whatever that looks like, it's more than just fluffing a pillow or pulling up a blanket. It's an invitation to slow down, to be present, and to remind your family member, no matter what their age, that they are seen, they are safe, they are loved. So let's break this down by age real quick here. If we've got infants and toddlers, we're talking about comfort. They need security. They need attachment. Holding their hand, singing a lullaby, whispering a blessing over them, tells their tiny little precious hearts, "You are cherished and I am here." I remember my husband laying on the floor of the nursery with his hand between the little crib slats, just holding a baby's hand and just helping them to feel secure and attached. So just have a gentle bedtime ritual, a bath, a book, a prayer. There's just some simple reassuring words like, "Mommy and Daddy love you. Jesus loves you. It's time to sleep now." Just something that simple. Speak peace over them like I do to you every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. When we've got preschool and elementary, it's all about the power of presence. These are the golden years of curiosity, of conversation, and bedtime is whispered secrets and silly jokes and deep thoughts and really deep questions about the world. So ask them questions. Ask find one question that you can ask them. What was your favorite part of today? Let them share their worry so they don't carry them to sleep. Say, okay, now it's time to give me your worry so I can hold them while you sleep. There's something so powerful in that. Just say a simple prayer together. Just say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for our family. You could even have a little book, a little photo book where they pray for members of their family. God bless mommy. God bless daddy. God bless granny. God bless pappy. Whoever it is. That's just a power of presence during a routine. For tweens and teens, it's all about the doorway to the heart, not the doorway to their room. It's the doorway to their heart. And it's really easy to think older kids don't need to be tucked in anymore. But they do, just in a different way. They may not want a bedtime story, but they still need connection. They need reassurance. They need someone just to be there. So try knocking on their door and just saying, I'm heading to bed. Wanted to tell you good night. Anything on your mind? And offer them a quick word of encouragement. Just say, hey, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're so easy to love. I love telling my kids that. And they roll their eyes like, Mom. But I know that they love it. It's just that powerful connection. And if they don't want to talk, just sit there. Just linger for a minute. They may be suspicious at first, but just be consistent. That's a way to get their trust. Now, if there are no kids at home, okay, if maybe you're in an empty nest stage or you don't have any kids in your home for whatever reason, it's you and your spouse. Maybe your home is quiet. I'm telling you, tucking in your marriage can still bring comfort to your spouse, to yourself, to your relationship with God. So ending the night with gratitude, a simple thank you for today. Thank you for doing this today. Thank you for something. Just expressing gratitude to them goes a really long way. Just reaching across the bed, holding hands and saying a quick prayer. That's a great way to end the day. Or just reflecting on one small joy from the day. Where did you find joy today? What is that question that you can ask? And maybe that question would change over time. But can you get in a rhythm of asking each other a simple question? And just maybe it's spending 5 minutes in scripture together before bed, reading to each other from the Bible. Maybe it's just whispering a simple prayer. It can be any little connection. But tucking in isn't about a perfect bedtime routine. It's really about creating a moment of peace and connection before that day ends. Do you have that moment that you just live for that helps you get through to see tomorrow? Because one day, children outgrow the need for bedtime stories, but they will never outgrow the feeling of being loved and heard and cherished. And I love that I have a daughter who's in college, but still texts our whole family group text, good night, every single night. Good night, I love you. And it's just, okay, we all know that everybody's safe, everybody's in their space. It's so precious. So tonight, before you turn off the lights, I want you to pause and I want you to be present. And I want you to think about what can I do to make our home more peaceful and not, what do you have to stop doing? Okay, well, I need to stop overscheduling and I need to get rid of my clutter and I need to prep meals. And we think about all of those kinds of things, or I need to stop doing this. Just think about what are simple rhythms that you can inject into that chaos. Okay, fine. Maybe the dinner was crazy. Maybe we still couldn't find the soccer cleats, but you still stopped by and said goodnight. You had that moment of connection. That may seem so small, but in a world that moves so fast and takes so much from us, it is one of the greatest gifts of all. And I encourage you to do that. So let's talk about some simple tips too for bedtime strategies. Let's talk about what does that look like for different kids. We've talked about tucking them in. Let's talk about some of those rhythms. What could that look like? Well, for infants and toddlers, that can be about an hour before bed. Start dimming the lights, start playing some soft worship music, and just do that every night so they know, okay, it's getting time for bed. Just do a simple prayer and make sure that you're minimizing overstimulation. So, sorry, dads, it's not the time for roughhousing right before bed. Do that earlier in the day or whatever it is. If the brothers are playing or wrestling, just start to calm everything down. For preschool or early elementary, routine is everything. So is it bath, pajamas, story time, prayer? Like, what is it? And use a bedtime blessing. come up with a bedtime blessing for your kids, just a simple word of encouragement, a simple prayer that you pray over them over and over and over again. Every day, it's the same phrase that you pray over them. That's really powerful. And teach them how to start to self-regulate. So when they feel scared, when they feel restless, to go to God with that, to pray out loud with that. For those tween years, that can be really difficult because they are growing and they want so much freedom, but they're not quite ready for that. This is a great time to encourage journaling before bedtime, doing a devotional, doing a gratitude list, just incorporating scripture memorization, just something that isn't a screen. And let me tell you, they're not going to do it if you don't do it. And so this is really hard. I've been trying really hard to dock my phone in those evening hours and to play a game with my family. And maybe we're watching a show together. Watching shows together is actually bonding if you're watching intentionally. Now, if you're just binge watching and everybody's watching their own screen, there's no bonding there. So I'm not saying screens are awful. I'm just saying if everybody's disconnected, where's the connection in that? For teens, it's all about conversation. They are ready to talk at night. And so as they get older, it takes me longer to put them to bed, but that's okay. You could ask them questions like, hey, how did you see God at work today? And the first time you ask them that, if you are not in the habit of asking them questions like that, they may look at you like you have just grown an alien head and think, what do you mean? But having just asking them again and again, they may start thinking about it and think, you know, mom's going to ask me tonight how I saw God at work today. I think I see it here. Let's talk about it. And model good sleep habits. That's really, really important. Looking at how they're going to do what we do and not what we say. And you can encourage their independence in their faith, letting them choose their own devotional, letting them choose their own worship playlist. That can be really helpful. And saying, hey, what can you do? I know that it's really important for you to sleep and you have a lot going on. Let's talk about your bedtime routine. What do you think would be good things for you to have a bedtime routine? Because actually, kids are more open to this than we are. But even if that's just something as simple as washing their face, maybe lighting a candle, having something, you know, whatever it is that's age appropriate and safe, of course. But let them have some independence in that and thinking about being cognizant of that. Now, for parents or adults at home, how do you create a couple's bedtime routine? What do? Do you pray together as a couple? Spend a few moments together? Is there a specific question that you'll ask each other? What are the tech boundaries that you need to set in your marriage? Now, this is really, really hard. So try not to bring your work computer into the bed, because if you get a stressful email, you're like, oh man. And then your bed is just not for rest. Or social media, you're sitting there laughing, watching reels till 2 a.m. while the other person's trying to sleep. What are the tech boundaries that you can agree upon together? That's really important. And I really encourage you to think about rest, using those evenings to restore peace, not just to finish the to-do list. There's always going to be something on the to-do list. There's always something that's going to remain undone. But what can you say, you know what, this can wait till tomorrow, because connection is more important. And wherever you are in your family, rest in God's peace at night. A bedtime prayer helps us to intentionally cast our worries on God, as we're told to in 1 Peter 5:7, to rest in his care, to remember those biblical truths that carry us through life's challenges. And if we have a faith practice at the end of the day, whether again, that's thinking about a scripture, that's saying a prayer, that's reading a scripture, doing a devotional, it encourages us to be grateful, to reflect. Ending the day with what are you thankful for really helps kids and parents focus on God's blessings. Those family devotionals provide opportunity to teach wisdom and biblical principles in an atmosphere that feels safe and relaxed and unhurried and, dare I say, pleasant and enjoyable. Model those spiritual habits that last a lifetime. When you establish faith-based routines early, kids are more likely to maintain them into adulthood. So no matter what age or stage your family members are in, I encourage you to take time tonight to seek a point of connection, ask them a question, listen, tell them you love them, and tell them good night. That healthy bedtime routine is built on consistency and preparation to make sure everybody's going to sleep well, which I'll talk a lot about next week about sleep hygiene. But in the meantime, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I'll see you back here on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.